Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
If you're feeling anxious, stressed, or lonely in these difficult COVID times, call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
From labradoodles to cronuts, the world loves a hybrid. So today, businesses are taking a smarter hybrid cloud approach, using the tools, platform, and expertise of IBM. The world is going hybrid with IBM. Visit ibm.com/hybridcloud.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today is back on the air. It's hour number 2 of our 2-hour extravaganza on this Thursday. We talk a lot of football in this hour, but we begin with a little baseball hot stove. It's Fantasy Sports Today starts now.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Is caught by Owens. Owens made the catch. Pass is caught. Diggs! Sideline! Touchdown! Unbelievable! Toss to White. He's in! Patriots win the Super Bowl!
Welcome back. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia. Only a few days left until the Christmas holiday and Hanukkah holiday for me as well. Thanks for listening and making our show a part of your daily routine, whether you're listening live or on demand. Joe Pisapia, Craig Mish, Sean Guastamacchia, our producer on this show. And Joe, the holidays are coming. Hanukkah is coming. A lot of our shopping is done. Hopefully yours is as well. A lot of baseball teams still have some shopping to do for sure. And although the big names in free agency are long gone at this point, let's get real. Cole is off the board. Strasburg off the board. Rendon off the board. Top relievers off the board.
Which is great.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's actually clarity for all of us. It is. But there's still some above bargain shopping left at this point. I would say that we're not at the premium aisle anymore, but we're definitely at the higher end aisle, especially with a couple of names who are on this list. And so let's play a little game of this. Will any of these players sign before Christmas, the 25th? Because we know they ain't signing Christmas Eve on the 24th. They're not signing the 25th, probably not signing the 26th. It's just the way baseball works, the sports works. They shut down for a couple days. And where will they sign? So this is a lot of coin flipping, but for fun, let's have at it. Josh Donaldson seems to be the most coveted best free agent left on the board. There's a chance, Joe, that Ozuna and Castellanos are better players and are more productive players over the long term, but they got this draft pick attached to them, and that's part of the deal here. Especially with Ozuna. So let's touch on Donaldson here. Will Josh Donaldson sign before Christmas, Joe? And where will he sign?
I'm going to go with yes, and I'm going to go with your narrative in Texas. I think it's the best landing spot for him. They have a need. They have the money. They just showed you by bringing in Kluber that they are interested. And I think that rotation right now, if you can get even close to the same seasons you got out of Minor and Lynn, and you can get an old school Corey Kluber season out of him in 2020, man, that's a pretty good rotation. So now you have to pivot and look at where the offense is, and they definitely lack some pop in the middle. And Donaldson's that guy. They don't have, Nick Solak played well at the end of last year. There's no denying that. But that doesn't mean that that's going to prohibit you from bringing in a guy like Donaldson. I think they can afford to and might actually overpay to get it done. But I think it's the Rangers, and I think we get it right before Christmas.
Well, look, Atlanta could put Austin Riley there. That's for sure. Philadelphia has no option.
Right.
The Nationals really have no option. So I would guess that, and I like that thinking that Donaldson goes to Texas. I will agree there. but either Washington or Philadelphia at that point are probably going to have to pivot and try and get Chris Bryant from the Cubs, because then otherwise they're going to be left with a complete zero. Remember, Philadelphia just punted on Franco, Michael Franco, completely.
But they have Kingery there to play third.
They could do that.
I think that seems to be what they want to do, too, because, I mean, he played pretty well for the sporadic. You know, it's always difficult when you take a guy and you move him from position to position. But when I did the write up in the Black Book on Kingery, the one thing that, as you went through the game log, you know, and continue to go through the deeper stats with him, he still hit pretty well. There's still some red flags there. There's still some growing pains, but the overall totals were there. And in terms of, I think, his growth, it would be good to just leave him in one spot, say, this is your job, and then just back away. And I think if they do that, I think some of the hitting stuff will come along with it and develop easier.
Hopefully so. And look, the Nationals would give Josh Donaldson 2 years and $50 million right now. I mean, they would hand that to him after not paying Rendon. Like, they would write that check, but Donaldson wants more than that.
I think he'll get three from Texas.
Oh, I think you may get four from some team. But yeah, I mean, that's the key, is that it's a problem for Washington. They don't want to go down that road, and they scout very well internationally, and they draft very well, too. So they kind of probably look at it and say, do we have to do this? Not do we want to do this? Hyunjin Ryu, why this is getting so much attention, I'm not really sure. Look, he'd be a nice guy, Joe, to have in a one-year situation. It certainly does smell like he is chasing money here, which he probably should. This is his chance to cash in. Look, he could easily go back to L.A. He could go to a good team. He could go to Milwaukee and compete. I don't know that he cares. If that feels like he's just going to take his 1 year, $17 million, or 2 years, $30 million for the top team, do you think he signs anywhere before Christmas? And if so, where?
Was he offered a qualifying offer, Craig? I don't remember.
He would have had to have been, I think, yeah.
I would imagine, yes. I still feel like that's a real possibility, where he might just go back and take the qualifying offer because he's not getting enough.
He can't do that anymore, but he could sign a deal with the Dodgers.
Is it past the time where they can accept that?
Yeah, they can't. They can't.
Oh, okay. My apologies. I would think that would be an option. Well, if that's the case, I don't think he signs before Christmas, because I think the pitching market's getting thin now. And now there's the teams that are the have-nots in the pitching market. And I think the Angels eventually will be the ones to bite. And I think the Angels will be the ones to overpay, because if you're going to spend money on Rendon, you look at the rest of that rotation, you can't be relying on Heaney and Bundy and those guys to all of a sudden emerge as top of the rotation guys. Plus, you're worried about Shohei Ohtani bouncing back in that rotation. How many innings can he throw? Not that Ryu is an innings eater per se, but I think when you look at the rest of the pitching market, if you're going to roll the dice with a guy who had a very good year and a guy that doesn't give up a whole lot of contact, because I think in the American League, that's an asset. And look, defensively, they're a pretty good team. Simmons is a very good shortstop. Trout's a very good outfielder. Rendon's a good third baseman. So I think he's a guy that you can actually roll with and actually feel pretty good about. So give me the Angels there.
Yeah, I don't think he'll sign before Christmas like you.
No, I don't. I said after Christmas.
Yeah, right. Like, I
yeah.
agree.
Oh, like me. Okay.
Yeah, but I don't think that it's the Angels. I think that Ryu is going to end up on a bad team. I think it's going to end up being Toronto.
Ugh.
Or it's going to be the Giants. You know, it's going to be a money grab for him, one-year deal, and that's my thoughts on that. Dallas Keuchel, who I don't know what level you would say he performed with Atlanta last year, signed very late in the game. I don't know that I would put it on him. World Series champion with the Houston Astros. Will he sign before Christmas, and where does he end up, Joe? Because he is probably only going to get a one-year deal again. I have a feeling on this one.
I don't think he'll sign before Christmas, but I do think the Cubs, now that they don't have Hamels, have kind of a need for another guy in that rotation. They're minus a lefty now with Hamels gone. I would say that's a good spot for him, landing with the Cubs, especially if they can get him on a one-year deal, because I think the Cubs are very leery of giving anybody a long-term deal. So if he could get a one-year deal, go to Chicago for, I don't know, 12. I mean, if Porcello just got $10 million, I can't imagine him not getting somewhere around the same. So if that's the case, I think that's a good deal for him and a good deal for the Cubs. How about you? Where do you think he lands?
He could end up back with the Braves. I think that he could also end up back with Houston. I would not rule that out either.
You know, I never thought of that. That's intriguing. You know, that could be another good marriage for both parties.
I don't think the Cubs have that money to spend unless the Cubs' focus is getting rid of some money so they could put Castellanos back on the team. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that they're going to go any other pitching. I think they got to kind of roll with what they got. They're kind of crying poor at this point, which is bizarre. Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. How can they? No, I just laughed. How can
they are? No, they are. They're Brian poor. Yeah, no. They're, look, what have they done? They've done nothing.
Yeah, it's not like they play in a major city. It's not like they have a lot of revenue.
Yasiel Puig, who is in Japan right now, or you know, sumo wrestling. Who the bleep knows? Yasiel Puig is a free agent. Does he sign before Christmas? And where does he end up?
No, he doesn't sign before Christmas. And this is a tough one because I think the Brewers have a need. But I don't think he's the guy to go there. I have another guy in mind there. I'm kind of the Cleveland Indians could really use somebody else.
I agree with you there. I think he should.
I think it's Cleveland. I think if you just move Kluber and you got a little bit of money to spend on offense now, it just seems to make sense, doesn't it? That Puig would be the guy there. They need a corner outfielder in the worst way.
Yeah. I'm going to say also no. And again, similar to Ryu, I'm going to give you the teams, the Giants, the Blue Jays, like money grab.
Queen doesn't want to play for the Giants. Ugh, that's a terrible
Queen wants money. I don't think Miami's giving him the money that he wants. And he's worth a 2-year deal. I don't think Miami's going to pay that. Let's not rule out a return to the Reds. He really liked it there. That's got
to
be a
possibility. I'll tell you what, if he goes back to the Reds, man, that's a hell of a middle of the order.
Yeah, he's just overrated, basically.
He is. We used to call it the fun to watch factor. Everything he does looks good, but everything he does isn't good. You know, it's you have to separate that.
Okay, Ozuna is next. Ozuna, another player who's going for the most money possible. There was a report the other day that the Cardinals are focused on signing him again. I don't think that happens, even though it's being reported. I got to tell you, I would be very surprised to see Ozuna return to St. Louis after everything that happened there. Texas is a possibility, Joe. I wouldn't rule out Tampa Bay as a possibility. Wherever the top dollar is, I think White Sox, I want to throw out there too. White Sox.
Oh, they have so many outfielders now, though, with Mazzara, though, don't they? Between Mazzara and Robert coming in eventually, you know. I don't know. You know, I would have said Milwaukee a week ago before Avisel Garcia signed there. But, you know, that's a team that could have used a little bit more punch in the lineup, I thought. But I don't know. Ozuna's kind of another guy, I think, in a weird spot, don't you think?
Because the draft pick. No bad team wants to sign him, though. No bad team's given up their draft pick for him.
Well, is there a young team? Let me try to give you this profile. Is there a young team that thinks they could be better than they are and willing to do it? Is it the Padres?
Yes. Yes, to all of them.
All those things?
Does any other team,
logic wagon.
but does any other team have more outfielders than the bleeping Padres right now?
Well, that's the problem. Well, but if you're the Padres, the one thing you could use is some other thing. I'm sure you could use more starting pitching. I mean, if you're the Padres and you want to flip one of these outfielders to somebody else, I mean, I'm sure you could bring something, some middle relief. I don't know. We'd have to sit and think about that.
Well, I could do that for you right now because I've investigated this. Margot is their center fielder. Okay. Ozuna's not playing center field. But Ozuna's not playing center field. So Ozuna would be a good fit in left field. But guess what? They have Will Myers making $25 million.
Well, that's the guy they want to move. I know that.
Right.
But Will Myers also plays third base, also can play for it. Like, Will Myers is a guy that would be, if you could eat some of that salary and move on from him, I think he's a very valuable player to another team who, you know, like the I don't like, I'm trying to, again, I don't know, the Royals maybe or somebody like that, where, you know, you could eat some of it and have a guy that could play
Miami also. Yeah, Miami could take him and put him in left field. But the problem is, Joe, $75 million.
No, it's a big problem.
That is a huge.
It's a big issue. It's a huge problem. I know.
There it is. All right, we'll take a quick time out. Dive back into some trust or bust in fantasy football. Don't go away.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. Worrying about physical separation, your own health, and the health of family and friends can weigh heavily on you. But with the help of CalHOPE, you can get important mental health resources and information to help you find your way in these difficult times. Call 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. HOPE will persevere. These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. CalHOPE, a program at the California Department of Healthcare Services, can connect you with resources for mental wellness. Visit CalHOPE at calhope.org to find tips and useful resources to support your mental wellness during these difficult times. Or call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
Well, I like
Fantasy Sports Today.
And I like football. And I'm going to keep doing them both because they make me feel good.
Do you trust me?
Trust.
Do you trust me?
Or bust.
You are so busted.
Welcome back. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Joe Pisapia, Craig Mish. Time for a little trust or bust on this Thursday. Got to make your final decisions for the fantasy football weekend in 48 hours from now. There are some Saturday games. three of them, and then Sunday and bowl games and Star Wars. And how can anybody keep up with everything going on right now? Holiday time, family coming in town all over the country. For me, it's not such a busy time. It's okay. All right, let's start off with the Saturday games. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are down to Perriman is their one. Their number two is Justin Watson. He's taking on the Houston Texans. Joe, do you trust Justin Watson this week, or is he a bust? Can he get you 10 to 15 PPR points this week? Do you trust that? Yes or no?
I don't trust him, but then again, I start to think about the math. And when we sit here and talk about the math, are we thinking that Jameis Winston's not going to throw for 300 yards? I'm trying to remember in the game log. I'd have to bring it up off. But off the top of my head, when's the last time he's thrown for like under 250? if at all. Never. So it's got to go somewhere. And I understand they say, oh, we want the running backs to get more involved. Okay, that's fine. But Ronald Jones isn't exactly LaDainian Tomlinson or Marshall Faulk. So it's a lowercase t in PPR, and I don't trust him in standard. I can't get there in standard. I do trust Perriman, but Watson, I don't know enough about him. I'd be lying if I said that I do. So I'm not that kind of analyst. I refuse to be that. So I'm going to say lowercase t just based on the mathematics of the Bucs offense. And in standard and half point PPR, I think you pass. You look for somebody else.
10 points for me seems reasonable. I have a feeling O.J. Howard is going to.
But you can't get 10 points out of him necessarily in a standard. I don't think you can bank on that. In a PPR, yes.
Yeah. Okay, Emmanuel Sanders is now on the San Francisco 49ers, and he's got a big game this week coming up on Saturday, Joe, against the Rams, if I'm not mistaken. Little bit of a disappointment now all of a sudden for Sanders. Started off with like a house of cards on fire. House of fire on cards. Who the hell? All there.
House of card fires.
And now you got to question it. You got to question whether or not he can bounce back. He could. He could have a monster game. But Kittle has now seemed to take back over that number one target role. Do you trust Emmanuel Sanders in your championship playing this weekend?
I'm going to say no. I don't trust him. I don't. I don't like the game log. I don't like where things are going. He's had a bunch of injuries that have kind of crept up there. I know he had a big game against the Saints. Everybody ate against the Saints, right? But I don't know. I think Debo I trust way more. And I'm just looking around here, and I don't know, man. I was last week I was buying in a little bit. I was like, all right, you know what? I think Garoppolo is really, you know, maybe turned the corner. That was really impressive performance. And then they just laid an egg. And yes, week to week, you can go back and look good again. But this is my championship. I don't know how many guys are out there that are, you know, available that are better. But if you ask me, would I rather play Perriman or Sanders? It's Perriman, and I have no hesitation. Who would you play?
Oh, Perriman. I would not. I would agree. Yeah,
You can't sit Sanders, dismiss the volume of Perriman in this game, potentially.
No, thank God I got him. okay, I mean, amazing, really.
I know, it is. You should have listened 2 weeks ago. You would have had him in there.
Now I don't have to worry about it. Unbelievable. I definitely thought I was waking up yesterday morning and like, oh, let's see who ended up getting him and got him. And then I was like, oh, okay, well, I probably didn't get Boone. Somebody grabbed up. Oh, nobody grabbed him either, but we got it. Just shows you the quality of the most money involved in any fantasy league that I'm in has the least good players in it.
Yes, but you're playing against guys who make millions of dollars.
That's true. They don't care. But
so
I do.
For them. But you do. You do. Plus, you care. You care anyway. You seem like the kind of guy that has pride no matter what.
Oh, no, of course I do.
These guys, but, you know, this is a drop in the bucket
of,
for them.
Of all, but, you know, and I haven't really talked about this that much, but think about this for a minute. And for those of you
where this is going,
for those of you who are curious about what we're talking about, I, you know, at the beginning of the season, whenever I start off in these leagues like this, like I'm in the Philadelphia Phillies actual fantasy league, I don't talk about it. I tend to just stay away from it September, October, because I don't want to make a big stink about it. The baseball season is still going on. It's a little bit uncomfortable. But imagine from my point of view. And think about it. Of the things that I accomplished in hosting shows and all these years. Yeah, it's all great and all fun. But being asked by somebody who is a prominent player in Major League Baseball to help him win his fantasy league, right? And then you do, and you win it. You win the whole thing in the first year helping, which was last year. And then he goes to a new team, and here we are, back in the championship again. Like, it's that. I feel like it's one. Even though. Yes, I totally get it. If we were playing with a bunch of experts, there's no way that this could possibly go.
Well, sure, it's the field, way. Right? But hey, so you look awesome right now. You're getting all the scoops on his new contract. I can tell you that.
I'll tell you what. If I don't, we're gonna have a big, big problem.
Dude, you might be his agent by the time everything's done, man.
No, Jeff Barry's good. He's solid. But, but it is a good feeling to know that I have jumped in and helped. And again, there's so much luck involved in fantasy. that, I mean, even if you said 80% of it was my skill to get to this point, okay, fine. But anything could have happened. We could have lost, I mean, McCaffrey in week two could have been Barkley, and that could have been it. Well, that would have changed everything. But here we are. I mean, if he goes to another team, I guess we're going to have to try and win another league for another team. But that's a lot of, it was a lot of pressure. I'll tell you, last year was a lot of pressure because he was on the Marlins, of course. And I wanted to show out well, and then we rolled right to the championship. And I'm like, okay, well, no matter what happens next year, I've already earned it. You know, I've already proven myself. And then we got back in this year too. Like, it's,
well, and maybe you're just magic. That's what it is.
It could be. Could be. I mean, it would be great to win. It would be great to win this year.
Hey, well, I'm hoping you do. I'm hoping that we come back here on
good
Monday.
The other team is good.
Yeah, I'm hoping that on Monday we come back and it's like a celebration show. It's like the it's a champagne. We're just champagne everywhere. The whole thing is going to be a good time. Let's hope.
I hope so. All right, Sony Michel versus the Bills. What do you got here, Sony Michel? You know, first 8 weeks of the season, RB1, second half of the season, RB2, the lower third of the season, RB0. I don't know what to make of Sony Michel. Tough matchup against Buffalo. He's a talented kid, but it has faded for him, Joe.
No, it definitely has. And part of the reason is the missing fullback. I'm telling you, the way they used to run with Sony Michel was they had Devlin on the field a lot in that power eye, and they would run through with Devlin, and that was a big part of that success. They kind of went to this old school formation, and it really worked, especially when they got into the playoffs last year. It really worked well, and it was part of the reason why they had so much success against Kansas City. He was able to slow the tempo and kind of play old school football there and support Brady and only let Brady have to make the throws he had to make at this point in his career. And they haven't been able to do that this year. I don't trust him. I don't. Kareem Hunt in a PPR, I feel better about, even though it's Baltimore, because I feel like he'll catch the ball five times.
Yep.
And he'll have a couple rushes, and he has touchdown upside in that game. So he's in that fringe. He's in the RB3 group for me. I can't get there. I think I would play him over Connor because I don't like the Pittsburgh offense at all. And I don't like the Jets.
That game's going under the total.
That game is a severe under.
The Steelers have been going under for like more than any team in the NFL. There's no way I'm playing any offensive players on Pittsburgh. Not doing that. All right, but on the other side of the coin, it's the ultimate revenge game. A running back against his old team that held out the whole year. It's been a disappointment for Le'Veon Bell, but in the end, Le'Veon Bell gave you RB2 numbers the whole year.
He did.
I mean, he really did. He did. It was ugly. It was not pretty. But you could have had David Johnson and been zero. Le'Veon Bell was giving you 8 to 10 points every week, catching four balls out of the backfield. But this is a revenge game spot. It's the championship, Joe. Can you start Le'Veon Bell in the championship against the Steelers?
I think you have to. I think you have to. I mean, I just look at it, even though I agree the under, the fact that he's gotten all-purpose yardage to this extent has been a positive. I think that's a takeaway for sure. But Le'Veon Bell is the ranked four, he's 14th in PPR points on the year. So Le'Veon Bell is at 190. He's got more points on the year than Joe Mixon, Miles Sanders, James White. Those are the guys after him. And I'm hard-pressed to think of a lineup where you can't start him. So trust, yeah, and a capital T, because if you made it to the finals with him, you continue to just roll, because like you said, he is giving you high-end RB2 value. Chances are somebody outperforms. So you drafted Chris Carson as a 2 and he's performed as a 1, or something like that happened, or you drafted Derrick Henry as a 2 and he's performed like a 1. That's probably the scenario you're living in. So yeah, you trust him. You throw him out there. And Le'Veon Bell strikes me as the kind of dude that will show up for this game. Doesn't he strike you as the, you know, he was bowling a couple weeks ago and he's like, oh wait, who's this week? Oh, the Steelers? Oh, well, let me just dust off my special cleats and I'm going to go out there and have myself a game. He just strikes me as that kind of dude.
All right. We have a few more players to get to here on Trust or Bust. We'll handle that next for you. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish along with Joe Pizzapia. We'll talk about some of the receivers in the NFL, whether you can trust them in their matchups this coming week for Championship Week right after this.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. Worrying about physical separation, your own health, and the health of family and friends can weigh heavily on you. But with the help of CalHope, you can get important mental health resources and information to help you find your way in these difficult times. Call 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere. These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. Worrying about physical separation, your own health, and the health of family and friends can weigh heavily on you. But with the help of CalHope, you can get important mental health resources and information to help you find your way in these difficult times. Call 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with the DailyRoto.com optimizer and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS. The most accurate means you win. You get lineup alerts, breaking news, lead swap support, much more. 10% off NBA DFS advice with the promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/DUNK to learn more. That's DailyRoto.com/DUNK. DailyRoto.com, that's where millionaires are made. We continue our trust or bust conversation, and then we'll take a look real quick at the top NFL free agents for next year. Let's go back to the NFL slate, Joe. And, you know, in DFS, and you can basically take this into your DFS league, or you can take this into your season long league if you're playing for the championship. T.Y. Hilton, Joe. T.Y. Hilton of the Colts, a must start every week when healthy in fantasy. Will take on the Carolina Panthers this week. When he's in the lineup, I tend to start him. Colts are going to have to go back into that free agent wide receiver market again. Did Funchess even play a game this year? What happened?
No, he got hurt. He got hurt week one, I think, or two, and he was out for the year.
That was a horrible signing right there, man.
It was. Horrible. It was a horrible signing at the time and a horrible signing now.
Well, Zach Pascal, not the painter, but the receiver, has actually been the better receiver on the Colts the last half a dozen games. But Hilton did not, with transparency, watch very closely Monday night because it was just over before it started. So I will lean on you. I'll pass on this one, but I will throw you out there for an opinion. Hilton versus the Panthers this week in the championship as a flex. Would you do it?
I would. T.Y. Hilton hasn't been healthy in a long. T.Y. Hilton hasn't been healthy since he played
at FIU?
No, since he played against Denver. That was about 6 weeks ago. So he's missed actually more like eight. He's missed a ton of time here. He came back for the game against Houston and then went right back out again. And then last week he was back. He got targeted 9 times last week. Brissett just played terrible in that game. I'd say you start him, and it's more because of the matchup. Carolina's ranked 31st, giving up 202 receiving yards to wide receivers over the last 10 games. Indianapolis throws a lot more when they're favored. Also, he's got a really good situation here where Dante Jackson is a 73rd ranked corner against him. So there's a lot of reasons to like him looking forward here. And against opposing wide receivers this season, as wide receiver ones, Carolina's averaging 32 fantasy points allowed. So you have to play that. I'm sorry. Like, I understand all your hesitancy with Brissett. I understand the concern with Hilton's health. But at a certain point, you have to say, look, this is my best shot and take it because Carolina has been that bad. And you also have to imagine, we're real clear to a certain extent. Are they going to have long, incredible drives? I doubt it.
We don't know. We really don't know. I mean,
but even if they score,
I can't imagine, really good at the beginning, right?
They've all been good, but none of them have had these incredible 9-minute drives where you're keeping other teams off the field. I think that's the thing you have to understand too. They might get a quick strike here or make a good play or something they're not prepared for. But I don't look at time of possession being an issue for the Colts in this game. So I'm going to go with T.Y. here.
Okay. By the way, just to expand the conversation is on Hilton for next year. Is it fair to say that no matter where or when you take Hilton, you have to, what I would say, like in fantasy baseball, bake in to Hilton's value missing two games? Like, do you just have to do that at this point? Like,
I think it's a bake in missing four, but yeah.
You have to do it now, right? Like, it's
yeah, and that's now, right? and that to me makes him a no draft guy because the ADP will still be high enough that when you make that investment on him, you're going to get hurt by those four games. It's not going to drop far enough, I think, in the offseason, because every time people get step away and they look and say, wow, there's an opportunity, it'll be lower than it was this year. But T.Y. Hilton will still go in that wide receiver two range, and I like him much more as a low end two or maybe even a three, just because, like you said, the health and why are we putting ourselves in a deficit, especially at wide receiver, where we've got all these guys emerging like McLaurin, like Darius Slayton, like a lot of these other guys who are stepping up and looking Cortland Sutton, who are looking like good wide receiver twos next year. Why would we take an older guy with a ton of injury risk and a questionable situation when we could take all these guys on the upswing?
Yep. All right, Greg Ward, my favorite player in the NFL this week against the Dallas Cowboys. It's a trust, full trust for me, for Greg Ward. I think, Joe, that Ward is going to have a monster game, and we've gone 16 weeks in the NFL season, and I have not made one DFS recommendation to you all year. My recommendation, Joe, is to put Greg Ward.
That's not true. You made one. His name was Brian Whatever. Hill.
Okay, well, he sucked. Put in... Here's my. I'm going to try to go.
This is your redemption song.
This is my redemption. I actually love the Atlanta tight end that I didn't know his name and didn't exist too. If you remember that one.
Yeah, and I kept telling you like Craig.
Hey, by the way, that guy caught a touchdown the following week. By the way,
he did. The following week, he did catch a touchdown. I thought of you.
Yeah, I could be the guy who's never wrong and say, "But I told you eventually." Okay, so Greg Ward, I trust. Do it. Put him in. Put him in a DFS lineup this week. He's going to have a big game against Dallas.
I agree. Five red zone targets in the last three games for him.
Going to be good.
He also caught 7 of the 9 targets he had against Washington. So I'm with you. Just when you keep looking at the questions of, okay, well, if you think Zach Ertz is going to have 100 yards receiving, Carson Wentz probably has another 150 to give, maybe getting 50 to Miles Sanders. Where's the rest of it going? It's got to go somewhere. So well, I think
Goddard always gets 50 yards.
Yeah, okay. But I mean, look, if Greg Ward can even repeat the game he had against Washington without the touchdown, that's 13 points.
So Greg Ward is going to have 25 this week.
Greg Ward, by the way, 5,700 on FanDuel. Excellent lineup builder this week. He's a guy that will help you. You can play him at flex and help you go up to McCaffrey or Lamar Jackson in cash games. And yeah, I said cash games with Greg Ward. Why? Because I just told you he had 9 targets last week and there's no way he's not going to be involved this week. You're right.
Super Bowl MVP, Greg Ward.
I think that's one step too far, but you had your redemption song and then you blew it. All right. You had it.
Kyler Murray at the Seahawks this week. Murray 2 weeks ago looked awful. Last week looked great. This will be the determiner this week at Seattle. Seattle's defense is not that great. We know that.
No, they are not. They are not at all. Last game against Seattle, he threw one pick, no touchdowns, 241, 22 of 32. He did have a rushing touchdown in that game.
Oh, okay.
So in terms of fantasy points, he put up 17 last time. But that was quite some time ago. I think he's a much better quarterback now than he was 10 weeks ago. So, yeah. So I'm looking for at least a 17. I think 17 is the floor. I think we're going to push 20 here. And I'm with you. I trust him. I really do. Seattle's defense is just not that great. And I think they're getting a little gassed. If you watch them play recently, I feel like this is another team that had a lot of big games in a row. And they're starting to look like it's taking a little bit out of them. So, yeah, give me Kyler Murray, especially if he is playing from behind a little bit. I like it. So give me Murray against Seattle. And we already talked about him in the DFS segment, hour one. If you missed it, you can go listen on demand. But 7,700 on FanDuel, that's exactly the kind of price and tournament you're looking for a quarterback. And you don't have to pair him with anybody, which is great. You can kind of open yourself up to stacking other spots and just take the 21 points from Murray at quarterback.
All right. Anthony Miller, who's come on very late, he takes on the Chiefs. The Bears season is over. I'll be an Allen Robinson championship owner coming up this weekend. Miller, I have, as I mentioned, on a Dynasty League team. The Chiefs defense, all of a sudden, shockingly, is amazing for the last few weeks. This is a big surprise to me. There are some people who are very smart, Joe, in the betting industry, who think that the Chiefs right now give you the best value for the Super Bowl of any team.
Agreed.
In the NFL.
I agree with that 100%. I actually said that on Black Book Podcast last week when we were talking about it, because Bogman does the IDP show over on FanTrack, so he's very tied in. And a couple weeks ago, we both came to agreement about this Chiefs defense, and we said they're scheming better and they're doing things with the personnel that they have, and they're using them in a much better fashion. And you could see it on the field. And I'll tell you right now, if you ask me who's the best team in the AFC to upset Baltimore, it's absolutely the Chiefs. And I think I said it yesterday on the show too, because I think Mahomes has that ability to make that play, you know, and that's the thing. At this point in Brady's career, I don't know where we're at. I don't think he's got the weapons. But Mahomes does. Mahomes can make that one throw to Tyreek Hill that changes the entire dynamic and the entire momentum of a game. So, yeah, I agree. I think the Chiefs are the most dangerous team right now, more dangerous than Baltimore in a lot of ways.
Okay, but Anthony Miller, let's go back to him for a minute.
Yes, Anthony Miller.
Would you trust him this week as a flex in your championship?
Yes, because he's playing Kendall Fuller, which is one of the last guys on that defense. It still sucks. Kendall Fuller got lit up against Edelman a couple weeks ago. He just gets lit up constantly. He's ranked 65th overall at cornerback. Yeah, I still trust him because it's gone well. 19 points, 12 points, 22 points. Right. He hasn't put up single digits since that game against the Rams. And even in that game, he had 11 targets. So I think you have to trust Anthony Miller in PPR without a doubt. He seems to be taking advantage of the opportunity. He's had games with big targets, no touchdowns, big receiving yards. And then he's had games with lower receiving yards, fewer targets, but he had the touchdown. So he's getting it done in different ways. And I think that's what's most appealing about Miller. So it's not like, oh my God, he has to catch a touchdown. No, he's had a couple big receiving games as well that didn't have the touchdown and came back with fantasy value.
All right. And finally, Alex Boone against the Packers on Monday night.
Ah, man, this is tough. It's tough because I don't know the clarity of the situation. If you're desperate for a flex, and I mean desperate, I get it. I think you can lowercase t trust him. I thought he looked pretty good in that game. What did you think of him? You saw it.
I thought he was pretty good.
13 for 56, two touchdowns. I mean,
yeah, I thought he was pretty good.
I need
Madison to be out to play Boone. Out. O-U-T. Out of the game.
If Madison is out, I capital T trust Boone across the board. Standard, half, full PPR. Running backs against the Green Bay Packers this year, 24.3 points allowed. So they give up points to running backs. You can run on the Green Bay Packers all day long. And Boone looked like he did enough in that game that I would imagine he could at least put up another 15 for 60 and maybe one touchdown, and that's a pretty good day. He's not going to catch the football regardless. I don't think you're going to see that. That's
no, he's not. I can't wait to have this. Whoa, let me take that back. I hope I don't have to have this discussion with you on Monday night. I really don't want to, but it could be a discussion.
Does that guy you're playing have anyone Monday night playing?
Let me see.
Because that's another question, too. Like,
I don't think so. His lineup is Breeze, mm-hmm. Devonta
on the road. Which is great. You got Breeze on the road.
Devonta Freeman, you know what? Have at it if that's what you want to do. And he has a great game. I'll get bit. Henry, Hopkins, good team. Brown, AJ Brown, Kittle. That's one I'll have to watch Saturday.
Yeah, Sanders, touchdowns.
Sanders, Miles, Denver D. Okay, and Tucker.
And you said McCaffrey, right? I'm remembering that properly.
My team.
No, your team's McCaffrey. Okay, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Winston, McCaffrey, Carson, yeah, Robinson.
Way higher floor than that other team does.
Robinson and Perriman at wide receiver. Andrews is the tight end. Diggs is the flex. So it will come down if it's Monday night. Yeah. So if it's Monday night and down X amount of points, we'll take it right to Monday night and we'll decide. It'll be either Diggs
if
in the flex.
Down single digits, who are you playing? You're playing Diggs, right? Single digits. I think it might be Diggs either way at this point. I don't know.
Listen, if you're telling me Madison and Cook are out, how do you not play Boone?
I don't know. I just, yeah, it's, you're right. Probably.
You want that kind of smoke pizza pia?
I know. I can't wait for Monday's show. I don't even want to talk about it. I don't want to blow what could let's be a beautiful do it. Thing on Monday. Yeah, let's just bang it. Because, you know what? Right. We had a great guillotine league for weeks and weeks. And
oh, I know. People just, they asking for more guillotine talk. All right. We'll take a time out. We'll be back with more tight end discussion and fantasy. Don't go away.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. Worrying about physical separation, your own health, and the health of family and friends can weigh heavily on you. But with the help of CalHOPE, you can get important mental health resources and information to help you find your way in these difficult times. Call 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. HOPE will persevere. These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. CalHOPE, a program at the California Department of Healthcare Services, can connect you with resources for mental wellness. Visit CalHOPE at calhope.org to find tips and useful resources to support your mental wellness during these difficult times. Or call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help.
That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig and Joe with you. Hey, go back and listen on demand. The last 2 days, we recapped the fantasy football value of running backs and wide receivers on this show. And so if you really want to have a nice, nerdy, boring time, listen to this segment too. And like watching those Star Wars movies in order, go back and listen to wide receiver and tight end from the last 2 days on demand. And it's like the a new hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. You know? And then we'll do Attack of the Clones, like we'll do kickers. You know? That's like the equivalent of that. All right, so tight end recap here for the 2019 fantasy season. What did we learn from 2019? Look, every year is different in fantasy, and the years of Tony Gonzalez and Antonio Gates and even Gronk to a degree, I always felt like, let me get one of those guys because I'll have a distinct advantage over my opponent every single week. Mm-hmm. And the cost was never exorbitant. It was always like a fourth round pick.
Gronk, no, not Gronk. Not in the expert leagues anyway. Gronk was always a fringe 1-2 pick.
Okay, so let me remove Gronk from that list. But yeah. So people have caught up to that idea.
Jimmy Graham too.
Yes, Jimmy Graham. That's a good one as well. Expert leagues and smart people have caught up, and now guys like Kelce and Ertz. And even Kittle are going in the first three rounds of fantasy drafts. So did we learn a lesson from that this year, Joe, that we can take into next year? Because I think that the narrative that we'll say is, oh my gosh, look how many guys popped up that we didn't think, and it was the smart thing to do. But at the same time, every year is different, and we don't know that. Like last year, tight end from about seven down was a wasteland. This year, from about seven down, startable almost every week in fantasy. So I don't know that there is a distinct lesson to learn because next year could be different. I would not draft a tight end based on this year going into next year in the first two rounds because I feel like I could get a Waller or an Andrews or a Hooper a little bit later on. But will there be a Waller or a Hooper or an Andrews later on? That's always the question.
Well, I think the one lesson here is every time you go into a fantasy season, whether it be baseball, football, and you say, man, this position sucks, it always ends up not sucking nearly as bad because guys emerge because that's just what happens. It's very, very rare. You go in going, this is going to be terrible, and you leave going, see how terrible it was. Right. And there was a lot of concern here because there was a lot of unknown. And I think the unknown made people say it sucks. And I think that was the wrong take. I was not somebody who went very early at tight end. I'm somebody that hedged a lot and took a lot of Jared Cook and a lot of Jason Witten. And both those guys finish as tight end ones right now in terms of points.
Jason Witten is a tight end one.
Hey, 131 points for each of them. Both of those guys averaging just about 10 fantasy points a week in PPR. So that'll get it done at the end of the day. That's it. You need 10. Can you get 10? Great. Because Travis Kelce, as good as he's been, he hasn't had those massive Travis Kelce three touchdown games or the 150 with two touchdowns. It hasn't been like that this year. Some of it because Mahomes was out, but also teams have kind of wised up a little bit and they've figured out more ways to guard him. Zach Ertz has been hurt a little bit with his upside based on the fact that when you look around at it, you understand that, hey, they have no one else to throw the ball to. So I think better wide receivers next year make Ertz more interesting. Waller's crept into the top three in terms of points, which is stunning. Whenever you can get a guy off the waiver wire who ends up in a top three position, that is a difference maker in fantasy. And yeah, you had that short period of time where Renfro was in and he was kind of taking some targets away. So keep an eye on that next year. George Kittle was another guy everybody loved, had some injuries this year. He's second in terms of average points per game, but he's still got less touchdowns than you imagine. He's only got four touchdowns. So Last year, he only had 5. So when are the touchdowns going to come for George Kittle? And if they don't, it's something to really consider that you really don't reach for him outside of the PPR formats He's not a big difference maker in that.
He's my favorite guy in the whole list, but you're right. If he's not going to catch touchdowns, then that's the case. By the way, in terms of grading out, Kelsey was 1, Ertz was 2, Waller. We don't need to dive into Waller again.
Well, it's only 12 for tight end 1, so it's a lot easier to list him if you want to.
But Waller, again, we've talked about him a million times on the show. Kittle, Andrews has been, I would say, the best value, maybe just about of any fantasy player this year. I mean, maybe the biggest surprise in all of fantasy this year has been.
And part of that, 8 touchdowns. Yeah, he's leading all tight ends. He's also leading all tight ends.
Last Thursday night, he was wide open. They missed him on a pass too. I was hoping for that. Mm-hmm.
He has twice, just for perspective, he has twice as many touchdowns as Travis Kelce.
okay. Hooper, Jared Cook. What team is Cook going to be on next year? Pick a team. What do you got?
I don't know. I just liked him with Drew Brees because I thought as a red zone,
he's going to be somewhere next year too. He'll be somewhere else. Witten, I won't touch next year. Henry, I think the shine is off Henry for me. I'm not really interested in him anymore.
Well, keep in mind, he's a free agent next year.
Yeah.
So if he ends up somewhere like New England, who's desperate for a tight end, that could be intriguing.
Higbee, depending on Everett's situation, Olsen.
Talk about a late rush, right? Can you imagine Higbee's cracked the top 12 just from these last couple of amazing weeks? That's staggering. That's the thing. Olsen, he's actually moved ahead.
Goddard is 5 for 50 every week. Kyle Rudolph, you got to really take a shot there with him. A lot of his volume usually comes in one game. I'll be back in on Evan Ingram next year. I know he's been hurt a lot this year. The value will be good for him next year. I think that probably we would both agree that we're going to target Fant next year. I think Noah 100%. Fant would be, I mean, Noah Fant was a stud in college. And I remember doing shows like this last year. People were on Hockenson. And that's the difference. Not watching Iowa play last year, you would have understood that Fant was definitely the best pass-catching receiver. The knock on Fant is fair. Unlike Hockenson, Hockenson is a better blocker. Fant is a better receiver. Guess what? Every team has another tight end on the team that blocks. So what the bleep is everyone talking about?
I agree, man.
It just didn't make sense to me that was the. And I agree. I will never I will never be in on Hockenson like I am Fant. Fant's a better player. Jack Doyle, whatever. We're getting into wasteland here. Darren Fells has been a plug and play. Griffin had a nice little run. Gesicki, the Dolphins would love to be able to trade this guy and get a 7th-round pick. It didn't really happen enough. Everett, probably out of the league next year. Jimmy Graham, out of the league next year. Jonnu Smith has been okay.
He's one to watch. He's one to watch because
if Delaney Walker, they'll probably be done with him, right?
If Walker's gone, Tannehill's there. Jonnu Smith is a guy that you can make a case for when you're saying, hey, you know, I missed out on all the good tight ends. Let me take a little upside here. Like, you know, maybe Fant starts to really get a lot of helium. Jonnu Smith is one of these guys you could take as the 10, 11, 12 tight end off the board. And he might have a fair amount of upside to be a tight end 1. Like he might even be later in terms of draft spot.
Off the top of my head, Washington's tight end is sitting out the bowl game. He had like 800 yards and 5 touchdowns, and I should have prepared for that. But he'll probably be in that rookie discussion mix. But back end guys, Ebron, I would guess the Colts are finished with him. Eifert is a non-start, non-draft. Blake Jarwin never took that next step. Hockenson was a pretty massive disappointment. O.J. Howard was a huge disappointment, but you should probably go back on him next year if Winston is there. Hollister was great in the limited time that he played, and Vance McDonald was a massive bust. But
McDonald was a massive bust. But a lot of people like Vance McDonald. But
I like
the
problem
with Vance McDonald is health. It's always health. It's always been health. Yeah. Hollister is intriguing. Who was the – I just went out of my head. Who was the tight end in Seattle before Hollister came around?
Disley.
Yeah, so keep an eye on whoever ends up with that gig or how things shake out there, because Hollister's played pretty well. He's going to have a good week this week. O.J. Howard, probably the biggest bust, though, because I know I was of the mind that O.J. Howard had the talent and the ability to get to a certain point of returning value as a guy you took in the middle of tight end if you didn't want to wait all the way. And I did a fair amount of that where I didn't wait all the way to get Jared Cook. And I was much better off in the leagues where I had Jared Cook, I could tell you that, because O.J. Howard was an absolute bust. But this is the problem of, you have to recognize talent is not everything. It's also the system they're playing in. And yeah, it's great that they're using him now, but that doesn't mean much. Cameron Brate's another guy too. Keep an eye on where he ends up with, because they're not going to keep two tight ends on the Tampa roster next year. That ain't happening. Like, you know, Brate's going to be gone probably. So see where he ends up, because if he ends up on a team, there's another guy that's got a history of catching a lot of touchdowns, and is all you need to be a tight end one every week is to catch a touchdown. So he might be another one of these names to keep in mind, especially in those dopey two tight end leagues. And there's a bunch of them out there too, which I hate. It's like, hey, let's take the worst position. It's like catcher. Let's take the worst position in the NFL or the Major League Baseball for offense, and let's make you have to roster two of them. So even if you have a good one, we're going to ruin it anyway by making you start two. I hate it. It's the worst. Yeah. It doesn't make it more valuable. It just makes you miserable.
Yeah, and we're not going, if I mean, I think just based on what I saw this year, I don't think that you're going to have a Hockenson Fant first round two tight end draft this year. You may not even have a tight end drafted in the first round at all this year in the NFL draft.
Well, there's Hooper, Henry, and Brate are the big, I'd say, tight end guys out there in terms of free agency. And one of them has got to end up with the Patriots. I'm telling you right now, they are the lowest team at tight end. They have the least amount of passes caught by a tight end. That will not happen next year.
I could see Hooper there.
Hooper would be a phenomenal addition there. Yeah. That feels very right. And my goodness, I think that's good for Hooper's value too.
I think Henry will outprice himself a little for New England. But I think Hooper could do a 1-year deal or a 2-year deal there and catch 60 balls for New England. He could catch
60 balls and 10 touchdowns with New England next year. That is not an impossible stat line. It's just not.
With what quarterback, though?
No, it'll be Brady. Brady's going to play forever. You and I will be. There's a better chance Brady's still playing football, and you and I won't be doing this show. that's where we're at with Tom Brady.
You know what? I probably agree with that. I would probably agree with that. Yeah.
When is Tom Brady going to stop? I don't know when Tom Brady decides he doesn't want to play football anymore, I guess. But I can't blame this season on Tom Brady. They really failed to surround him with enough. And I don't think no matter how good a quarterback is, I mean, Aaron Rodgers this year, I mean, when he had no Devontae Adams, how are his stats? Imagine if he didn't have Devontae Adams all year, what his stats would look like. They were terrible a couple of weeks ago. Adams came back and he's got a little bit of a bump there, but oh my gosh, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, nobody was talking about it because Brady was so bad, but Rodgers was even worse.
Yeah. But you know what, with the Patriots, look, Harry should have been better. Harry should have been more.
I think Harry might be better next year. I think he's starting to come on a little bit.
Maybe so, but that's a failure. I mean, they drafted a wide receiver in the first round that they did not develop into a weapon this year.
And they wanted to sign. It's funny because they wanted to sign Adam Humphries in the offseason. And Humphries didn't want to go there because he was worried about how long Brady would be there. Now, of course, that really didn't work out because he didn't get used at all in Tennessee this year. No. But they smelled the end of Julian Edelman coming, as they always do. And I think they smell it. And we all know what New England does. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what happens. When they smell the end, you're gone. And if Julian Edelman was gone next year, wouldn't shock me either. Would not shock me.
AJ Green, man. AJ Green. That's a good
one. I don't know.
All right. Okay, so let's take a brief time out. We got the 2-minute warning up next, and Dr. Roto's standing by for full-time fantasy. Don't go away.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. CalHOPE, a program at the California Department of Healthcare Services, can connect you with resources for mental wellness. Visit CalHOPE at calhope.org to find tips and useful resources to support your mental wellness during these difficult times. Or call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere. These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. CalHOPE, a program at the California Department of Healthcare Services, can connect you with resources for mental wellness. Visit CalHOPE at calhope.org to find tips and useful resources to support your mental wellness during these difficult times. Or call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. It's time for Joe to get ready for his holiday season this weekend. He's got 17 podcasts to record. We got to let him go. Before we get to full-time fantasy, let's end the show with the two-minute drill from Joe Pisapia.
The two-minute warning.
2 minutes, get your sh** together.
Is that going to be enough time?
It is the holiday season, and one of my favorite traditions is on Christmas Eve when the kids go to bed, I like to pour a little eggnog and sit in front of the giant screen TV and watch Die Hard. Yes, now I am a Christmas movie fan. I watch them all. The Home Alones, The Christmas Vacation, The It's a Wonderful Life, and I'll cry every year when the angel gets his wings. But Die Hard is also a Christmas movie, and I'm tired of anyone telling me it's not. His wife is named Holly. It's pretty much the exact same plot line of Home Alone, because he's a rogue individual that nobody likes that decides to basically fight off a bunch of people trying to steal a bunch of stuff by creating an elaborate set of booby traps. Sounds like Home Alone, doesn't it? No, it's Die Hard. And what do him and Kevin McAllister both want? They just want their families. That's it. All they want is their family back for Christmas. And in case you didn't realize it, his wife's name is Holly. There's Christmas music. There's all kinds of Christmas themes. Just because there's a little violence, that doesn't make it not a Christmas movie. In fact, it might make it the most Christmas movie of all, because around the holidays, we all have a lot of stress. So Die Hard is a Christmas movie, and don't tell me otherwise.
Wow. The debate rages on Die Hard. Heard that one before. Well said from Joe. Thanks again to everybody who listened today to this program. Thanks to our producer, Sean Guastabacchia. I'll be back tomorrow to wrap up the week. Jamie Eisenberg makes his final appearance of the year with us here on the show as we talk about the championship. For Joe Pisapia, I'm Craig Mish. Full-time fantasy is next. Talk to you tomorrow, noon Eastern, right here on Fantasy Sports Today. Have a great Thursday night, everybody. See ya.
If you're feeling anxious, stressed, or lonely in these difficult COVID times, call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere. If you're feeling anxious, stressed, or lonely in these difficult COVID times, call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.